Well, as you can see, we are starting a new series this morning for our Easter season called Sent, talking all about our mission as followers of Jesus Christ and what it means to really explore this idea of invitation. That is, this truth that we are called to tell other people about our faith. Now, the old-fashioned word for this that you might be more familiar with is evangelism. Yeah? That's kind of loaded today. That has taken on sort of a life of its own and means a lot of different things. So not necessarily going to use that one as much as that's kind of the old-fashioned word that we might think of when we talk about witnessing or sharing our faith or telling other people about Jesus. Maybe a better word that sort of gets at the heart of what Jesus is really asking of us, I think, is invitation. Invitation. It's sharing your story of Jesus in such a way that invites others to know him as well. All right, Debbie, it's waking up. Here we go. Sharing your story in such a way that invites other people to know him as well. Pastor Matt Majofsky, another United Methodist pastor, says this: Jesus doesn't just want us to come to church, but he wants us to be sent out to do work in the world. It's not this idea of just we come and we gather and this is it, but we are called, and we know that. We talk about being released and being the revolution and going, and a lot of times we feel comfortable serving and being active, but this is about being sent now to tell other people about the story of Jesus, to tell people your story. What it means to be sent. You know, this is important to who we are as a people of faith. It's so important, in fact, that Jesus really commands it. Now, we're in the Easter season, so hang with me. This is after his death and resurrection. Before his ascension, Jesus returns and talks to the disciples and gives them this command. The great commandment, right? The great commission. There's an iteration of it in all four of the Gospels, where Jesus, in some capacity, sort of commissions the disciples and sends them to go and tell the story of Jesus. And in fact, these are the last words that Jesus says to his disciples before he ascends and he goes to heaven. So there's this sense of importance here, the very last words that Jesus speaks on earth to his disciples. In Matthew 28, which is probably the one you think of when we think the Great Commission, Matthew 28 says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" On Easter, we looked at sort of the version that we see in the Gospel according to Mark. And the Great Commission there says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. I really love that, to the whole creation. Or if you look at the Gospel of John, a little bit different. Verse 19, it begins, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' And after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" John is sort of odd, you know, he's different from all the other three. So this is sort of the Great Commission and Pentecost all wrapped up in one, you know, just sort of go now in the power of the Spirit that I give to you. And then the last account would be Luke Acts. We sort of understand this to be the same, the gospel according to Luke, we sort of understand this to be the same writer, and it's kind of read together as Luke Acts. And so the Great Commission kind of straddles Luke Acts together in this account. And so it starts at the end of the Gospel of Luke, and he says, "Here's all the words that I've spoken to you, everything written about me in the law and the Moses and prophets and the Psalms." And I love this part, verse 45. "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." That would be helpful, wouldn't it? You're like, can we just pause there for a second and pray? Can we just open our minds? understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that Christ should suffer. He goes through, third day rise from the dead. And 48, you are witnesses of these things. He's like, you know all this. You saw this happen. You were there with me. You witnessed with your own eyes these events. And so then comes sort of the commission in Acts 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So first he says in Luke, you are my witnesses because you were with me. So kind of this is witnessing kind of in two ways here. Like they had that firsthand eyewitness experience because they walked with Jesus. But now as he leaves them, as he departs from them and ascends to heaven, he says, you will be my witnesses. You will continue to do these things. And it's not, well, will it be a firsthand account? Yes, because Jesus will continue to show up for them through the power of the Holy Spirit. They will continue then to be witnesses for Christ, not only for what they saw then, but what they continue to see and experience now in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's where this sort of second part of what it means to be a witness includes us now as disciples of Jesus Christ. We did not walk the earth with Jesus. We did not live then. But we have been witnesses to Jesus as he shows up and works in our lives. We have these encounters and these experiences, and we can go now and be witnesses to Jesus. You are my witnesses to these things. These are the very last words, especially right here in Acts, because look, verse 9. And when he said these things, they were looking up, and he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. So according to Luke Acts, verse 8 are the very last words that Jesus speaks to them in the flesh. It's this command, not to just come, but to be sent. Not just to keep our faith sort of personal and private. But a little bit public and external. It's important to who we are, and yet I think there may be no other concept of our faith that makes us more uncomfortable than this idea that we are supposed to be sharing it with other people, living it out publicly. In fact, some of you already might have, like, you can feel your skin just kind of crawling a little bit, you know, like, okay, where's this going? I remember when I was in college at the University of Kentucky, I was walking across campus to class, and I was passing by the student center, and as I approached, I heard someone yelling. And as I got closer, I realized it was a young man standing at the corner and the sidewalk at this sort of major intersection right in front of the student center, and he was screaming words of scripture. He was reading, but like at a yell. And his tone was harsh, his delivery urgent. He was screaming at these college students passing by, telling them to repent of their sins and their wicked ways. And no one was stopping. Some were even changing directions to sort of avoid and go around. Many just sort of hurried by, like, don't make eye contact. You could, like, see it. If I just, like, look right here, not making eye contact. And it just so happened that the same day, the student ministry that I was a part of was also at the student center, and they had a table set up out front, and they were passing out flyers inviting people to come to our free pancake breakfast, sort of that night at midnight. It wasn't a worship service, but it was just pancakes, and they were there, and no one was stopping, like not one person. And I couldn't help but feel uncomfortable, like there was sort of this like contrast. But at the same time, one of the leaders was like, yeah, but we're kind of all on the same team here. I'm like, yeah, that's true. And this is really awkward. No one wanted to talk to us. Like, all they could see or hear was this one man sort of angrily admonishing them. And I just stood there sort of in that tension and this discomfort. And I thought to myself, what kind of witness do we want to be? Like, if we all represent Christ in the world, what kind of witness do we want to be? I think some of us are hesitant to share our faith today because we are aware of stories like this. Or we are aware of stories of past church hurt or trauma where the gospel message has been forced upon people or delivered aggressively or angrily or judgmentally, and folks have been shamed that if you don't believe what I believe, then you're going to be, you know, just condemned to hell. We know that maybe ourselves, we carry some of that past church hurt, but we also are aware that people we encounter out in the world, like they might hear the word Christian and think about the man yelling on the street corner instead of the person handing out, like, hey, here's some free pancakes. It's more than that, but like, you know, there's a contrast. Would you have come, Daryl, if there were midnight free pancakes? Heck yeah, there you go, yeah. I was one of the pancake flippers, you know? We are aware that there are people that we encounter that have some sort of idea of what Christians are like, and we don't want to we don't want to come off as aggressive or judgmental or hateful or angry. Or maybe you feel a sense of insecurity that you don't really know enough about faith or about God to really even tell other people about it. Like if I start talking about it, they're going to ask me questions and I don't really know what I'm going to say. There's this sense that we have to be an expert in Bible or in theology or the nature of God before you can even tell someone about it. And then I think that we just can have this basic fear of making other people feel uncomfortable. We don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable, so we keep it to ourselves. Our faith is meant to be sort of personal and private. It's just between us and God, and that's it. And, you know, if people want to ask me questions, they can. Or if people want to learn more about Jesus, they know where to find him. Like, they can go. They can figure it out. And maybe that sometimes works, that we just sort of create safe space where people can come to us. But if we never talk about our faith with people, we might miss out on some really powerful opportunities. And this is the tension I'm trying to invite you into. There's the internal struggle that Rachel has often. How are we supposed to be this faithful witness? If we don't want to come off too aggressive or harsh, but we also don't want to offend ever, there's got to be sort of a balance, a happy medium here where we can faithfully witness and not miss opportunities where people might be hungering to know, but we never open ourselves up to the possibility to share. And we could miss some of the maybe coolest ways to make a difference in the world. So what does it mean to be a witness? What does it mean to share our own personal experience of Jesus Christ? Well, first, I think it means just to start with your own experience. You don't have to be an expert in the Bible or in theology or in church history, or anything else. You only have to be an expert of your own story. And that should be pretty easy, because it's about you. And we usually like to talk about ourselves, don't we? Maybe a little bit. Start with your own experience. A witness is simply someone who shares something they have personally seen, experienced, or gone through themselves. You're not trying to get people to follow Jesus. You're not trying to just strong arm them or manipulate them or just get them to show up kind of a bottom in a seat. An invitation to simply just share the role that faith has played in your life. How important church has been in your life or that community, what Jesus has done for you. You only have to be the expert of your own story. You know this, you each have a story to tell. And they are powerful. I know because some of you have shared them with me. And every time you do, it encourages my faith. It lifts me up. It makes me excited for the ways that God continues to work in our world. You each have a story to share of how Jesus has shown up for you, of how God has worked in your life. You each have a story to share about what this church community has done for you or how it has changed your life. In a teaching from Matt Myofsky, who I quoted earlier, when he talks about this, he pointed out something pretty obvious. I thought, well, that was pretty cool. Even if we don't use the word, we're all pretty good at witnessing. We're all pretty good about telling about good things that have happened in our lives. Like when you've checked out a new restaurant, or you've read a really good book, or when you found some article online that you thought was really interesting and you wanted to share, you wanted to tell people about it. So you posted it on Facebook and you thought, hey, I found this interesting. Maybe you would too. I was really hoping Vance was gonna be here today. So at that point, I could talk about all the funny things that he shares on Facebook, because he's a witness to a lot of things. And they're mostly pretty goofy. We already witness already to good things or funny things or interesting things that happen in our lives. And we're good at telling people about them. Hey, you should check out this new restaurant in such and such neighborhood. I just read this incredible book and I thought you might be interested in reading it. It's that natural. It's that simple. So why is it any different when it comes to our faith in Jesus Christ? It is natural to tell people about the good things that we have experienced and discovered. It doesn't have to be any different when it comes to Jesus. Second thing is to share it with people you know. Start with your own story and then share it with people you already know. A few years ago, news started circulating around some, online and on some mom's groups in town about a group of Christians who were showing up at Walmart and Target and Kroger here in Middletown. Did you all hear about this? And they were inviting people to come to their Bible study. That's innocent enough, right? But the way they were going about it is that they were targeting specifically young families. And oftentimes it was young moms alone at the grocery store with their kids. And these people were approaching them and inviting them to their Bible study, but not really taking no for an answer. Kind of pressing, asking why, following people down aisles, cornering them, right? And so word started spreading. You can still read about it. There was a news article about it. There's interesting Reddit threads. Maybe not interesting, but it started circulating around these moms groups because they were warning one another. They were warning one another about things that they had experienced when they were going to the grocery store. Not a great approach. It was making people uncomfortable. It might have been a really good intention, a really great Bible study, but it was turning people off because of how they were going about it, because of that approach. Witnessing doesn't mean running up all the time and engaging strangers that you don't know. That's not exactly in this Great Commission, what, especially according to Acts, that's not what Jesus is asking them to do immediately. That's not what Jesus is asking them to do right here. In Acts, Jesus tells the disciples to begin at home. He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and then Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But he tells them to begin at home in Jerusalem, where they already lived, where they had relationships in their homes and the center of their religious life at the temple. He was telling them, start there. With the people that you already do life with, that you already have relationships with, who you trust and they trust you. Witnessing begins at home. And we might say, of course, it begins at home around our kitchen table as we disciple our children. It begins at home as people gather and we have our family and our extended family and we can tell them about what Jesus is teaching us right now. And then we can begin to be a little bit more open to the people that we interact with on a daily basis. The friends and relationships you have at work and at the gym. Those third spaces that you think of, like we have work, we have home, we have church, the other places that you interact in the world. Third or fourth spaces. These people that you do life with, we can begin to be a little bit more open to share about what Jesus is doing in our lives. These are people that we already have relationships with. They know and trust the intentions of our hearts, so it shouldn't feel weird or awkward, but natural to share about what is going on in your life. It's these people that ask you on Monday morning at work, how was your weekend? Well, you can tell about it. What'd you do yesterday? How was your weekend? It's the friend you haven't seen in a long time. Hey, what's new? What's going on with you right now? people that love us are genuinely curious about what is going on in our lives. And in fact, I think it would be weird to not talk about something that's so important to us to people we have relationships with. And sometimes I'll confess that in fear or worry of making other people feel uncomfortable or making them feel shame or some sort of way about something else, I don't talk about it at all. When in fact, when my friends know that I'm a pastor and that this is a pretty big, important part of my life, they think it's weird when I don't talk about it. And I'm willing to bet that most people in your life know that you are a follower and believer in Jesus Christ. And if you don't share about it, they might think, do they not treat me the same? You know, am I not as special to them in their life? And lastly, you end with an invitation, not an obligation. When we share something that has been meaningful to us, it naturally leads us to an invitation. Hey, there was a really great restaurant that just opened. Would you like to go with me? Hey, there's a really great book I just read. Would you like to go to this book study with me? It ends with this invitation to go and to experience something different, something new. And it's not forced. It's not manipulated. It's not some grand scheme for church growth and to get lots of people in. There's no raffle here of a prize that you might win. But it's an invitation to come and experience something new. If you are interested, if you think it might be meaningful, you are welcome to come and check it out. It's that simple. You saw the statistics in our series promo video that the majority of people who don't go to church would be interested in going if someone would invite them. If someone would simply invite them in and go with them and host them. Someone that says, hey, come on in. This is where our coffee is. This is upstairs where your kids can go. I'll show you the way. Here, I saved you a seat right by me. I know it's really intimidating to walk into a room of a bunch of strangers who already know each other. So come with me. I will be there. People without a church home are likely to go if someone they knew and trusted just invited them to come along. And I am convinced that we interact with people every day in our day-to-day lives that we already do life with, who are longing for a place to belong, who are longing, maybe struggling with loneliness or isolation or just discouraged about life. It's tough, it can be hard, and so many people feel like they're doing it alone. They're going at it alone. And I am convinced that we have opportunities all around us to invite people into a church community like this. It's saying, hey, it's okay if you don't believe everything yet. It's okay if you have a lot of questions. You don't have to behave correctly or believe everything, the right doctrine immediately. Just come and see. This is a place to be welcomed and to belong and to question and to dive deeper and to explore. And you are safe here. That's how all churches should feel. And when we have a good thing and a good place here among us in these relationships, I'm convinced that we encounter people every single day that are longing for such community like this. And in fact, I see it. I love being in all these online moms groups. It's fascinating. There's a Louisville moms group. You're in it. Pretty good moms. We're not great, but we're pretty good. Yeah, it's good. And just the other day, someone was asking, hey, do you all just like, I don't know, have anybody that you could just like do life with? Maybe church related, maybe not, but they were just like, I feel really isolated. Could we just show up and like do this? Often people ask, they want to form our own mom-mune, you know, like a commune of just all moms that you could, got some weird looks in the back. But you know, these people that are feeling very isolated in how they are doing life and want it to be different. And I am convinced that there are so many people who are hurting that feel the exact same way, that just want to be included. So your homework this week, your mission, if you would choose to accept it, is to become the expert in your own story. Start there. Think about what is one way that Jesus has made a difference in your life. What is one way the church has made a difference in your life? Spend some time this week reflecting back, looking back, giving thanks for God and God's faithfulness and how God has gone before you and with you in every stage. And become an expert in your own story of who you are, especially and wonderfully created by God. Get comfortable. Maybe practice sharing parts of your story with your house group. Get comfortable maybe with this idea that our faith is not just supposed to be personal and internal here, but external and lived publicly out there. And I want to note, if this makes you uncomfortable, if you're like, yeah, thanks, no, that's not for me, I'm going to not come back for the next X amount of weeks. If this makes you uncomfortable or a little nervous, a little scared, then take heart, because you are in good company. The first disciples were scared too. In the Gospel of John, it tells us they were hiding, sort of what we think is up in the upper room, locked inside for fear of the Jewish leaders. And it makes sense why they were afraid. I mean, if they started living out their faith publicly and teaching the same things that Jesus did, they literally just saw him be put to death and crucified, so it was likely that the same thing would happen to them, and they were afraid. They didn't know what they should do. Jesus told them to wait here until the Spirit comes. So in Acts, they are gathered in that space, and they are praying, and they are waiting, and they are locked inside, and I believe that there is a bit of fear. Now, I know that we don't encounter the same level of threat today in our context when it comes to sharing our faith. I don't think we have to be worried about our lives being put to death, and that's a privilege that we have here. There are other Christians and other believers around the world today who do have that fear and who meet in secret. But I do think we can sympathize with their fear, or we can empathize. We can understand that there is fear because there's vulnerability when you begin to share about something that's so important to you. And so if you are uncomfortable, if you are a little afraid, take heart. Jesus told them, wait here until the Spirit comes, and then you will be my witnesses. In the Luke Acts account, it was only after the Holy Spirit came that they had the courage to share about their faith. It is in the power of the Holy Spirit that we go in the same way. In his commentary on Acts, Dr. William Jennings says this: the disciples will be formed by the Spirit as witnesses. They will be turned out to the world, not as representatives of empires, but those who will announce a revolution, the revolution of the intimate God calling to the world. They will enter new places to become new people by joining themselves to those in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. They will be formed by the Spirit as witnesses. Friends, it is only in the power of the Spirit that we might be a faithful witness today, marked by the love and grace and mercy of Christ that offers a come and see invitation, just like Jesus did. You never see him force or manipulate or strong arm people to come and listen to his teachings. It was always simply an invitation. Here's what Christ has done for me. Why don't you come with me next week and check it out yourself? As followers of Jesus Christ, this is still our mission. Should we choose to accept it, to go and to make disciples, to be his witnesses, to tell the story of Jesus. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, may we have the courage and the strength and the opportunities and the eyes to see the opportunities when they come, and also the words to say. When we open ourselves up to these possibilities, we pray that the Spirit would give us the words to say to invite people to come check it out themselves. Amen? Does this seem like something we can do? Yeah, I think so. Thanks be to God. I want to, before we move on and pray and keep going into communion, I wanted to offer you all an update for our new location that we have been actively working on for the past several weeks. I know I shared a little bit about it on Easter and that we are very excited for where we feel like God has prepared and called us next. As things are in life, and I think in commercial real estate, it's gone slower than expected. And here's why. The property that we are looking to lease is actually under contract to purchase by another party who saw this and they thought, this is a great opportunity. There's a gym on the property to start a basketball league, a couple other buildings that they want to use for some of their community outreach. And then this wonderful, beautiful church building that has stood in this neighborhood since the early 1900s, and they have no use for it. So as they were pursuing to buy this property, they also listed the church building for lease. And that is the building that we are hoping to lease very, very soon. They were supposed to close on the property Holy Week, because again, Holy Week, stuff happens. But they've had a few delays, and they have not closed on the property yet, which means we have not signed a lease for it yet. And that should happen this week. They should close on the property this week. But that's where some of the slowdown has been. The church building, as I said, it is an older building, but it has really great bones. A brand new roof, as in a year ago, new HVAC units, and over 12,000 square feet where we will be able to gather and to learn and to serve and to organize as this missional sort of outpost. The sanctuary, with some new carpet and new paint and some good chairs, I think it'll have this sort of modern feel that's just going to be really beautiful and lovely. And the things that I'm most excited about, is that it's located just off the Watterson Expressway, where it's going to be easily accessible for most of our membership. There's some great software that if you plot our people, which I have done several times, and you say, okay, where's the polygon where there's a 20-minute drive for everybody? It's going to be centrally located in the heart of our city in such a way that it'll be just about 20 to 25 minutes for most of us. And in that central location, I think it's going to be this just missional location where we can gather everyone in, but then be sent to go from there and to be the revolution. It's also located in a neighborhood, which I may be the most excited about, because it's going to be an opportunity for us to get to know that community. There's been a church that has been here much longer than we have existed, that have served and loved this community, and we get to come in and learn from them and go alongside them and open up our doors and serve them. We're on a bus line. So when we come to some of our outreach ministries, like our homeless outreach and our Celebrate Recovery, it's going to be a great central location for us to open up the doors and welcome in the community. Also upstairs, there is some great secure space for the kids, where there's like one large room that opens up into four or five smaller rooms, with a bathroom up there, all their own. And so it's safe, it's secure, and it's spacious. And I'm so excited as you sort of walk through that space to imagine how our children will gather and grow and learn there. The opportunities here will be endless. And I'm so excited to be able to share more as soon as we have that lease signed and we iron out these last few details and I'm able to get back in the building and show you this great picture, because I have no pictures. That was short-sighted. I can't wait to show you more about that and those opportunities. But this is our mission. And just like we shared on Easter, there will be a little bit of fear in any place that we go and anything new. Being sent is scary sometimes. Telling our story can be scary sometimes, both personally and as a church. But we have this great hope and promise that there is nothing Jesus followers will endure, no place they can go that Jesus isn't already there, because we go in the power of the Spirit, who empowers us and gives us strength to tell his story. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather and to worship you, to be prepared, to be filled up, so that we can be sent back out to do your work and to tell your story. God, we pray that you would give us the courage this week that we need to begin reflecting on our own stories, to begin just growing it in faith and courage to become experts of our own stories. And God, I pray that you would give us eyes to see the people, the relationships, the opportunities that we have day in and day out to share about your love. God, we ask that you'd pour your Spirit out on us gathered here, that we may have the eyes and ears to see when you show up and when you call and when you invite us to invite others. God, be with us, we pray, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.